Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, October the 2nd, 1983.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay, let us bow our heads then, please, for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Father, for the privilege of coming to your house and being able to assemble ourselves together where your word is preached. We pray, Father, that you would forgive us for anything in our lives that would separate us from you. Forgive us, Lord, for any wrong that we might have done, that we could come to hear your word today with nothing between you and us, with a clear heart, Father, that we could be opened up, that you could reveal to us through the Holy Spirit what your word would say to each and every one of us. We just pray, Father, that he would be allowed to work today to show us what you would have us to know. Father, our prayer is today that if there's anyone here that's lost, that this would be the day that we could rejoice in seeing them accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we just pray that they would realize that he is the only way they can be saved. We just pray, Father, that this service would lift up and glorify his name, that it would point lost souls to him and draw Christians closer to him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Oh.
I'll be a friend to Jesus. I trust each of us today who are Christians will take that song home with us and be a greater friend to the Lord. I tell you, He was a friend to us. He still is our friend. The Bible says that he who would have friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. I thank God for Jesus today, who is our friend. Someone wrote a song entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear, All Because We Do Not Carry Everything to God in Prayer." Today we'd like to first of all mention some prayer requests before we look into the message for today. Let's be praying for our services beginning next Sunday night with Brother Hawkins Smith. Let's continue to pray for Brother Herbert Haynes. As far as I know, he's still in Lexington in the hospital. Also, Brother Earl's mother-in-law, let's continue to pray for Ms. Sizemore. Truby Kelly is in intensive care down here in the hospital. This is Ms. Lane's nephew. Ms. Lola Hoskins, let's continue to pray for her. Also, we're glad the Lord's continued to work in Jamie's life, and just thank the Lord for all He has done. Continue to pray for Brother Mitchell Fraley. We take him a tape each week, and certainly he has a lot of faith in the Lord. Also, Brother Combs, his wife, we went to see her this past week, and continue to lift her up in prayer. My mom is continuing to do better, and thank the Lord for this. Brother Gisland's wife, let's pray for her this week. Mrs. Barker over in the nursing home. Ms. Back, Brother Murdy Caldwell, Willie Davis. Brother John Talby is out of the hospital now, but is not doing too well. Continue to pray for Brother Don Combs and Brother Flincham's mom. Also, Irene Kelly. This is Ms. Frost's daughter. J.M. Ellington, Belle Perkins, and Lafer Giles at Big Creek, members of Big Creek Baptist Church. Gerald Wayne Watts. Brother Tom's mother, is she home now? Just tend to lift her up in prayer. And also Ms. Campbell and Virgil Maggard and Ms. White's mother, Allie Deaton. And also Dorothy Hoskins. I went to see Ms. Hoskins this week and took her two tapes. And let's continue to pray for her. And also Ollie Hurst family. Her funeral is today at 1 o'clock. She went to be with the Lord. Our Father, we thank Thee that we can look up to Thee in prayer and find in Thee guidance and grace for living. We just ask Your blessing, Lord, upon this day and upon this service, Lord. We thank Thee for the singing and for every word that's been spoken. We just ask Your blessing, Lord, upon each person here, that today would be a day when people would choose to serve the Lord. We thank Thee already, Father, for all You're going to do. Bless each of these names that we have mentioned. Lord, we pray also for our revival beginning next Sunday. We just pray that it would begin even this morning in the life of some precious soul as they would make the choice of a lifetime. We just thank Thee, Father, for all that You've done for us. Be with those who have lost loved ones. We just thank Thee for loving us and caring for us in so many ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, deciding for the Lord is the choice of a lifetime. When we take the marriage vows, we say, "Till death do us part." It's a choice of a lifetime. But you know, when death comes to a Christian, death only takes us to the one we love. Death can't even separate us. As we find in Romans 8, it's the choice of a lifetime. And I believe today that more thought should go into this most important choice in life, that of becoming a Christian. We sometimes sing an invitation song here. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a choice that we all need to make. And just walking down the aisle of a church does not save anyone. Salvation that happens inside the inward man. When the inward man is saved, the outward person is going to be different. Salvation happens inside. In Luke 14:28, Jesus said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" You know, many times we go by buildings that are half finished. It's sad. But my friend, a greater tragedy than a half built building is a half built person. Someone who may walk down the aisle of a church and that's about the last that you see of them. My friend, salvation is for real. It's a choice that we make. We need to sit down and count the cost of following Jesus. Of following Him. The choice to follow Jesus means more than walking down the aisle of a church. Joshua 24:15 is going to be our text for today. Almost the last words of Joshua. Joshua 24 and the 15th verse. He made a choice. And he said in this verse, Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Coming to know the Lord is a choice. It's a choice of a lifetime. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And so many people put off this most important choice in life until the last thing, until their deathbed repentance. We need to give God our life now. The Bible says to young people in Ecclesiastes 12, "Remember now thy Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You don't have to be old to go to meet the Lord. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And I believe we do not need to be ashamed of this most important choice that we have made in life, that of following the Lord. The Daily Bread said it like this one time: "He is a Christian indeed who is neither ashamed of the gospel nor ashamed to the gospel." We're neither ashamed of the gospel or ashamed to the gospel. The most important thing in life is to know the Lord. Our life made is an important decision. But my friend, knowing the Lord today is more important than any decision that you'll ever make in life. It's the most important decision. I trust you'll listen today as if this would be the last message you'd ever hear, because it could be. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16:26, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I believe there are people in hell today who would give $1 million if they had it to have 5 minutes here on this earth again. But it's too late. It's too late. We could gain this whole world and lose our own soul. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what? You and I were born to serve the Lord. We were born to serve Him. Making the right choices in life are very important. But the greatest choice is to choose to serve the Lord. One time Moses said to the children of Israel, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." And you know what? Only one tribe of Israel came to Moses, the tribe of Levi, I believe it was. If I asked that question this morning, or if I said this, "Every one of you who is on the Lord's side, would you come up here in front?" I wonder how many would be seated back there in the pew. The greatest choice in life is to serve and follow the Lord. A young man one time came running to Jesus to inquire about how to be a Christian. And the Bible says that Jesus gave him a few of the commandments, and he said, All these I've kept from my youth up." And then it says, "And Jesus, beholding him, loved him." And my friend, I want to say this to you today. Jesus loves you. He sees you in your condition. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack." Did you know what today? Nothing is worthy of taking the place of our salvation. Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give it away. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and take up the cross and follow me." He made a choice. A choice of a lifetime. The Bible says that this man was sad at that saying, and went away grieved because he had great possessions. He had great possessions. Someone said it like this: this same man could very possibly be the man that Jesus had in mind when the rich farmer built. He was going to tear down his barns and build greater. This same man could possibly be the very one who woke up in hell and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Don't put off salvation until it's too late. The very moment that you know that you've sinned, that's the very moment that you need a Savior. I don't know when the age of accountability is, but I know this. 98% of us in this room today know that we have sinned. Our memory verse in Sunday school this morning was, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How many did that leave out? Not a single person. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All need a Savior. The Bible tells us to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. There are many today on the broad highway to hell. I wonder if you're on the broad highway today. It says there are many on that highway, but it leads to destruction. because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know what? The choice is up to each one of us. The Lord today is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. And I'd like for every person here today to listen to what God has to say. This could be the last message I'll ever preach. It could be the last message that you'll ever hear. Decide for Jesus today. Get on that narrow way that leads up to heaven. The narrow way might not be the most popular way. It's not. It's the most unpopular way. But I tell you, it leads up to heaven. We were driving out in Colorado. We got on a narrow road. In fact, the road, the blacktop ended, the dirt road started, had gravel on it for a little while, and then it became a dirt road, and then that same road became narrow, just narrow enough for one car. I thought we were lost. Did you know what? Sometimes the road that leads to heaven gets so narrow. Someone wrote a song on the Jericho Road. There's room for just two. No more and no less, just Jesus and you. Are you on that narrow road? You can get on that narrow way today. And that narrow way does not lead to destruction. It leads to life, life everlasting. Proverbs 14 tells it like this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I got on a road one time up in Indiana, just Cadillacing along. That's when the speed limit was 70 miles an hour on those interstates. I came to a sign that said Indianapolis, so many miles. You know, I wasn't going toward Indianapolis. I was going in the opposite direction, or thought I was. I would ask you this morning to get off that broad highway, that seam right way that leads to hell, destruction, and misery. We had a verse the other few Wednesday nights ago that in Romans chapter 3 it says, destruction and misery are in their way, the way of a sinner. I want you to think this morning. Think with me. Where are you going? Have you made this all-important choice of a lifetime? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to rest in that fact this morning that Jesus is leading us. In Hebrews chapter 11, there was a man. We'll close with this story about Moses. There was a man who made the choice of a lifetime. In verse 23 of Hebrews 11, it tells us that Moses' parents had faith. When Moses was born, they hid him for 3 months. They were supposed to have killed him. That was the law of the Pharaoh. But they did not kill him. They hid him for 3 months. He was a proper child, a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then the very next verse tells us that Moses had faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, in fact, he was 40 years of age, in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here in verse 25, he made the choice, choosing rather
to suffer. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Have you ever made that choice? Have you made the choice to be identified with God's people? To follow the Lord? I know today that sin has pleasure. There are pleasures in sin. I'd be foolish to say they're not. But my friend, they only last for a short time, and they're gone. Moses chose to suffer than to enjoy. Sin lasts but a short time. Most people would look at this story here in Hebrews 11 and say that Moses blew the greatest opportunity he'd ever have in life. And that would be to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But you know, he made the right choice. He made the choice of a lifetime. Moses knew that one day he would meet God. You know what? Every one of us here this morning are going to meet God someday. We're going to meet God. And my heart today is burdened for you young people. I know you have a time in school. There are more sin now than there was when I went to high school back in the 50s. But I know this. You can be a Christian no matter if you're the only Christian in a school of 900 people. You can be a Christian there. You can be a Christian. Follow the Lord. Moses made the right choice. The Living Bible says it like this in verses 24 and 25 of Hebrews 11. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as the grandson of the king, but chose to share ill treatment with God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. The pleasure of sin for a season. Moses made the right choice. It says by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The only way you and I can see anyone who is invisible is by faith. 1 Peter says, whom having not seen, you love. Through faith you kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith. Moses was 120 years old when he died. And he had as much strength at 120 as he had at 40. God was his strength. He made the right choice. I want to say again, friends, entering at the straight gate. For wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leads us to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. My prayer is that as we look forward to this coming Sunday evening, that we'll not wait until Sunday evening. My prayer is that if you need to straighten out your life, that today you'll do that. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be the day of eternity. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before our invitation. Father, we thank Thee this morning that we have such a great God to look to. Father, we know that you're certainly able to speak to each of our hearts. Lord, we know that we need to give Thee more of our time. We just thank Thee, Lord, for each and every precious soul who is here today. Lord, work in our hearts. And help us, Lord, to be found doing Your will. Because Your will is best. Father, we pray for precious souls here today that may be hanging in the balance. Their one heartbeat away from a burning place called hell. Father, we pray for their salvation this morning. May we turn our lives over to Thee. And we know that You're able to bless and You're able to keep us. We just ask Your blessing, Lord, upon this invitation. May Your will be done, Lord, in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to ask Brother Tom to come and lead us in our invitation song, page 215. Let the Lord have His way. I keep thinking of that song that Brother Ralph Bauer taught us when he was here. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. This song says, let the Lord have His way, as we stand to sing. His way with me. This song has a lot of wonderful words in it. It's best to let the Lord have His way in our lives. I said my heart is burdened for our church. For each and every member. I pray that there will be an awakening in each one of our lives. That we'll be like the Apostle Paul when he was saved. He said, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? What wilt Thou have me to do? I want each one of us today to ask ourselves that question. Lord, I'm available to do whatever You want me to do, to go wherever You'd want me to go, to say whatever You'd want me to say. What's best to let the Lord have His way. Let's sing that second stanza, Brother Tom. church one day what this man did say I'm not preaching it. And I want to be one day. Is there one? Right.